Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, our Good Shepherd and our brother, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Good Shepherd Sunday is taken from John's first letter. We read from chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The words from our two scripture readings this morning, from Psalm 23 and from John chapter 10, are some of the most comforting and endearing words and pictures God paints for us and the entirety of his word, the Bible. Jesus, our good shepherd, and you and I, one of his sheep. The thought of Jesus guiding us, caring for us, protecting us, even giving up his life for us, as our loving shepherd, as we go through this life, all the way through our lifetime, all the way to our heavenly home, that thought, that picture, that illustration from the Bible fills our hearts with comfort and peace. However, as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, we are reminded that God's love for us is not a love that he has as if we're one of his pets or one of his livestock. Let's not take that sheep illustration too far. No, our sermon text for today uses no picture language, uses no symbolism, and tells us what we are and who we are very plainly to him. The words of verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's not just some sort of honorary title. He literally has adopted us. He's made us part of his family, made us his sons and his daughters, and therefore brothers and sisters of his son Jesus. And so we're not just called children of God, as it says in verse 1. John emphasizes in the very next verse, in verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. How? Well, if you read a few verses after our sermon text, John reminds us that, first of all, it was through Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that he brought to us, that he bought for us when he came to this earth as one of us. Verse 5 of the same chapter of 1 John says, he was manifested, he was made known, he appeared to take away our sins. That forgiveness and that adoption of ours, the adoption papers, you might say, were signed, sealed, and delivered to us personally when God the Holy Spirit worked faith in our hearts. That miracle of coming to faith, coming alive spiritually to faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And for many of us, that took place at our baptism. Listen to these words of Paul in his letter to the Galatians. He says, you are all sons. And the word used there is the word for sons, because he wants us to remember we are the heirs, the inheritors of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are sons and daughters of God, heirs of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And at our baptism, we put on Christ. God has adopted us into his family through our Savior and our brother, Jesus Christ. Why is it that we don't always think about or don't always realize what an incredible gift this adoption into God's family is for us? Well, I think one of the reasons John actually points out for us in this text, one of the reasons we don't always realize what a tremendous gift it is to be adopted children of God, is that we can't even fully conceptualize this blessing, this side of heaven. Again, listen to his words in verse 2. He says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We shall be like him. What's that going to be like? What's that going to feel like? It is beyond our imagination. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. Another reason that we don't always consider just how wonderful this gift is might be because at times in this life, being a child of God may not seem like that great of a gift at all. In fact, sometimes it maybe doesn't seem like a gift at all. Oftentimes it means that we are called to suffer. At times it means we give up our own desires, our own pleasures for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. Sometimes it means that we are going to be misunderstood, mistreated, maybe even abused by the world, possibly even by people in our own earthly family for the sake of Christ. At times in our lives, we may not feel like we're special. We may not feel like we're loved completely as the children of God. But as John tells us, when he is revealed, that is, when Jesus comes again on the last day, we will know. We will know for certain. He goes on to say again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Again, what's that going to be like? To be like Jesus. To see Jesus as he really is. What's it going to be like to have, as the Bible tells us, have perfectly glorified bodies for all eternity? What's it going to be like living in perfect joy, perfect peace, without sin, without death, without sorrow of any kind, forever? John tells us we don't really know yet. He says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. And so we look forward to it, but it's sort of like the biggest, shiniest, most incredible and exciting present we've ever seen just sitting there. It's ours. It's been given to you and me freely. It's got our name on it. It's right there. But it has not yet been unwrapped. It's still wrapped, and God is waiting for the perfect time to give it to us. And so we are like children waiting for Christmas Day, waiting in eager anticipation for the full revelation of that great gift of his heavenly kingdom that Jesus has bought and paid for us. A third reason we don't always remember or realize what an incredible gift it is to be the children of God, to be adopted into God's family, is because we don't always understand or we don't always remember or realize what our situation was before we were made children of God. We don't always remember or realize that there was nothing we did to deserve this adoption. There was nothing we could do to earn it or deserve it either. At our birth, at our physical birth, we were not born directly into God's family. Because of our sinful natures, we are born lost. The Bible says we're born spiritually dead, and we are headed for eternal death. In fact, the Bible goes even further. It says that by nature, we are actually enemies of God at birth. We didn't love him, and by nature, we didn't even want to be rescued. We want to do what we want to do. We want to do our own thing. But he loved us. He, despite our unlovableness, our hostility towards him by nature, came to us with his very own son, Jesus, saw us in the eternal cages, the eternal prison of our sins, and had compassion on us. Not just as a whole, but individually. He reached down into our lives personally, into our personal history, and adopted you and me into His family. He chose us. We did not choose Him. That is one of the special things about being adopted. You know you are chosen by your Father. He chose you. Listen again to those words from our text in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Those of you who know me know that I come from a very large family. I come from a large family both on my father's side and on my mother's side. And last month when I was able to attend my grandmother's victory service in Wisconsin, I was reminded again of just how large my family is. During the obituary reading, I was reminded that my grandma, and this would be my father's mother, had 27 grandchildren and 72 great-grandchildren. So in the church service that day, there were well over 100 of her family members gathered there. And that wasn't even all of us. We've pretty much filled the church just with family members. And that thought really hit home as we were being ushered out of the service, seeing everyone walk out. And yet at the same time, as we were being ushered out, I thought to myself, this is the smaller side of my family. My mom's side of the family has many more people in that family than my dad's side does. It also reminded me what a blessing it is to have such a large family. What a blessing it is to reconnect with my siblings, my parents, to see some of the cousins and aunts and uncles that I hadn't seen some of them in years, and to see their children all grown up so quickly. That reunion of so many of our family members that day took some of the sadness and some of the sting of losing our grandmother away. And it helped us remember just how blessed we all are to be a part of her family. It is a tremendous blessing to be a part of a family. Our earthly family is a great gift and a great blessing from God. And I hope that we all treasure our families and treasure the gift that God's given to us in them, that we tell them how much we love them and appreciate them. Whether you come from a large family or from a small one. Whether it's large or small, our text reminds us today that we belong to an even greater and much larger family. We belong to God's family. And because of that, we can look forward to the largest and happiest family reunion ever in heaven. One that will truly take away the sadness and the sting of death away completely. Because that reunion will be in a place where there is no death, no sorrow, no pain, and no sin ever again. So while we wait for that blessed reunion, let's remember that because we are God's children through faith in Jesus, that also makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of one family, the spiritual family of God. Let's remember that, and let's reflect on that in the way that we speak and act toward each other. Let's remember that when we think our thoughts, we think toward each other as well. Let's remember that and reflect that in the way that we work together in our family business, the kingdom of God, His church. With Jesus as our shepherd, lovingly guiding us, I'm confident we will. But what a blessing it is that He is even more than our good shepherd. He's our brother. He's our Savior. We are His dear sheep, His little lamb, as we will sing in the last hymn of our service today. But what a blessing it is that we are even more than that. We are Jesus' brothers and sisters. We are God's children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we, even we, should be called children of God. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.